Okay, good evening, YouTube. Welcome back to this next episode of FPL Family with me, Lee, and this is Sam. I'll tell you what, we've not had many more entertaining Saturday afternoons than that, have we? Goodness me, goals galore Saturday afternoon, wasn't it? Just clean sheets and defending at a premium, let's just call it. At a premium.
I feel like...
Especially at Turf Moor, by the way.
Do you know what? I just feel like all of the Premier League defences, weirdly apart from Wolves, forgot how to defend this
weekend. Were the clean sheets this weekend?
Wolves and Man City.
Wolves, Man City, that's it. Because every game today was 2-1, wasn't it?
Yeah.
2-1 home win.
Yeah.
And then we had the... Like, 5-2. The Burnley-Brentford game was, like, mad.
How did the Burnley-Brentford game even finish? Because it
mad.
Was, like, one goal here, oh, no, it's ruled out. And I forgot, like, I feel like on we were watching it, but on mute, because we were out. So it was on the TV, and they just kept going back to to the Burnley game.
Yeah.
And it was like, something's happened, oh, there'll be a goal, oh, it's being flashing VAR, oh, it's been ruled out.
We were out and about, so we just had Gillette Soccer Saturday, but on mute.
Yeah. Which
so
is terrible,
we had
by the way.
These, like, all the Sky presenters were like being really animated and being like, oh, amazing, like that. And we're going, what? What's happened? What's going on? And all we had was like refreshing X and refreshing SofaScore.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was like, oh, Burnley have equalised it and it's going to be VAR'd. And then it's like Ashley Barnes has hit his arm. And then I'm trying frantically, because you know, it's like, because it was a Saturday 3 o'clock, we're not
can't
getting any
UK,
footage,
yeah.
are we? So I'm trying frantically to get some like dodgy footage of this hitting Ashley Barnes' arm. And I finally found it. I'm like, that's not it, his arm, is it? And then it zoomed in. And I was like, oh,
has it
his arm, hasn't it? And it's like, well, he didn't mean it, but doesn't matter. Because as we found out with McAllister last week, doesn't matter if you mean it or not, if it hits your arm. But then I looked at it again on Match of the Day last night and I was like, I don't necessarily think it did hit his arm. I can't say. Listen. What an unbelievable weekend of Premier League action. So, so good. And some of the VAR and officiating, well, let's not even get there. Let's not even go there, because it was some of it was, particularly in your game, we've got to discuss it, right? I mean, when is a push not a push? I mean,
honestly, I'm getting to a point where it's
what
like,
the hell?
If my player pushes someone, it's a foul.
Yeah.
If my player gets pushed...
It's
oh,
mad.
It's not a foul.
It's mad.
You can have the goals. You can have whatever you like. It's starting to piss me right off.
Yeah. And these decisions will
make
a difference.
Because that's the game against Arsenal, because that brings us back 2-2.
It's
this game, which then finishes in a draw. Potentially, that's 2 points on the board.
100%.
The VAR has robbed us off in 2 weeks.
And don't forget the one where we scored against you.
Yeah.
Which was,
that's
think
fine.
Van Dijk pushed Romero, didn't
that's
he?
Fine.
And that was okay.
That's
that was
okay.
Given.
You push Romero over. Do what you like. Yeah, you know, come on, come to Spurs, push players over. But, you know, when we do it back, we will be fine. You know, it will be punished.
It's getting worse, isn't it? Like,
and
I don't want to start with it.
They're going to have more involvement next year.
Oh, have you seen this? Have you seen this?
More VAR. Just what we want.
Apparently, they're going to be more involved in, like, second yellows and corners and all sorts
now. They can't
now.
Get right the bit that they're supposed to be doing now. So, yes, give them more responsibility. Why not? That's like me going, you know what? I've got this guy on my team. He's really crap.
Yeah.
I know what I'll do.
Yeah.
I'll try and make him better by giving him more stuff to do.
I'm really, really bad at my job. I'll have some more responsibility. It's just like... That is so. It's
and
like,
I don't normally
so bad,
moan about
it's
VAR,
so bad.
But when it is genuinely, it is becoming ridiculous now in our games, especially after the Kane Rouhani one last week. To have it go against us again this week, it's like, oh, come on.
Oh, yeah. As you guys know, here on a Sunday night, it takes me, I do not need any encouragement whatsoever to slaughter the refs
and
VAR.
You always go in. I never do that.
Very happy to go in. And I think as the season's gone on and on, I feel like I'm gathering people. Like game week one, people are like, oh, bloody hell, Lee's moaning about refs again. And but here we are in game week 29, 28. And even you're being like, yeah, they're shit. I'm like, yeah, I told you. It's game week one, I told you.
But I don't, do you know what? The thing is with me, I don't mind it if the refs make mistakes because, like, they're human. Because they're human, right? That's why we've got VAR. The ref's going to make mistakes. They're going to not see things. They're going to call offsides wrong. They're going to.
Oh, please.
Because they're human and we all make mistakes. But the VAR guys have got no flipping excuse. They watch it 25,000 times if they want to.
And they're taking
9 minutes to get it wrong.
The Jadon Anthony one. And George is in, as usual. Hey, George. It was pure comedy just being in the Slack with George during that game, right? I think at the end I said, you need to go have a lie down, mate, because it was hard. I need a lie down and I'm not a Brentford fan. But I think even George would admit, like, those VAR calls, the Ashley Barnes handball, and in particular the Jadon Anthony one, I mean, yes, he's offside because his sleeve is offside.
He's leaning.
But it's like his feet are miles onside and he's leaning offside. It's just like, please.
Well, it's like
can
the other
we
week when
like...
they push the player offside. Oh. Push the player so they'd be onside. But that, so it's, you fouled the player, but that makes you onside.
Crazy, isn't it? It's crazy. We've got players now pushing other players so that the VAR's like, yes, that's not a foul because you've been pushed into
the... We were watching, we were at Max's, you were running the line today at Max's game, but during the game at Max's today, I was talking to one of the boys' uncles, and we were discussing this. I was like, should we start teaching our boys to just nudge the other or the opposition so that they're always onside? Because genuinely, that apparently is allowed in the Premier League. It won't be long before we see that in grassroots because the boys will watch it on the telly and go, oh, well, that's allowed. Bang. Off we go.
Yeah, yeah. That's what the Premier League is teaching our kids nowadays.
That's what it's teaching
it?
Them, yeah.
Push your opponent so that you can, so that your mate can be onside.
Yeah.
Throw it in long and set piece FC. Yeah. That's basically what we are nowadays, isn't it? Basically, what, and talk about set piece FC. We've got to talk about the Arsenal versus Chelsea game, because and Arsenal fans, you can come at me at you if as much as you want.
Refs first, then the Arsenal fans.
Listen, I am for a week. I've been very supportive of Arsenal winning the Premier League.
Why?
In the past. Well, I just have.
Go back to South London.
You're allowed to think that way because you're a Spurs fan. It's completely normal that you think like that. But for the first time this season, this weekend, I want Man City to win it.
Oh, welcome to the club.
Sam, you are absolutely completely supposed to want Manchester City to win it. You're a Spurs fan. Of course you are.
Yep.
But I've been sitting here as a relative neutral, but as a bit of a Man City hater based on their rivalry with Liverpool over the last 2 years, wanting Arteta and Arsenal to do well and win it. On the back of this weekend, they're just set-piece bullies, aren't they? They're just set-piece bullies. Like, the creativity from open play is rubbish.
I was setting up the XG.
Just the least sexy champions ever. It's going to be the most boring and set-piecey... they're going to be the crappiest champions ever, aren't they?
I don't think they're going to win it.
Oh, you still think C?
Yeah. They've got to play each other and City have got a game in hand.
Well...
But what I was going to say is I was setting up an XG slide for this because I was looking at the XG for the games and I was thinking, actually, this is quite interesting this week because obviously going into midweek, a lot of people have got a lot of injuries that they're going to contend with. So looking
I've got so many injuries now.
Looking at the XG that teams created this week might actually be quite useful going into midweek. So I set up a slide for it. And when I was looking at the Arsenal-Chelsea game, I looked at it in like different statements. And by the time we got to 30 minutes in, Arsenal had an XG of 0.11. Chelsea were on like 0.4 something.
Yeah, yeah,
it was
0.11.
And I was like, blimey, were they that lacking? And then I thought,
I can't remember them having any
shots apart from sets.
They won't care.
No, I don't. It doesn't matter.
No Arsenal fan's going to look back on the season and go, well, we scored a lot from set pieces when they lift that trophy. They won't care.
At the end of the day, 100%
won't care. Nor should they.
No, because actually it's a skill in itself to be able to score that many goals from set pieces. Now, maybe not this week, because as we know, Chelsea are absolutely diabolical at defending set pieces. So
XGC from set pieces, unreal.
Worst in the league. It was at 14 before this one. It'll be higher now.
And Arsenal knew it, didn't they?
And Arsenal knew it, and they attacked it. And you know what? That is what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to look at the weaknesses in the opposition and go for it. And Arsenal's major strength is from set piece threat. So despite the hate for it, one, it's bringing points in FPL, so why would you not enjoy that? And two, you can't knock Arsenal for it because.
But we can't enjoy it, can we?
What do you mean?
We can't enjoy it. It's bringing points in FPL, but we can't enjoy it. I'm not enjoying the points from set pieces. I'm not enjoying the points from throw-ins.
I tell you what,
I enjoyed the points from set pieces
in that Liverpool game yesterday. I tell you what, I bloody loved that when Szoboszlai put it on Virgil's head. Thank you very much.
Well, yeah, very much so. Very much
the
so.
The Arsenal ones, it's just you kind of, that's where you expect you're going to get your points from with Arsenal now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, listen, the Arsenal fans are already in, giving it back. And I want it back, guys, honestly. William Leary, thank you, mate. Oh, poor Lee, if it was Liverpool, it'd be a much different story. Mate, it would. It would. You're 100% right. And do you know what? In the last few weeks, Liverpool have been. We've been our own version of Set Piece FC.
Yeah, yeah.
Over the last few weeks. Since we sacked the Set Piece coach at the turn of the year, we've been miles better from set pieces. Mm. Now, I have to give a shout out for West Ham for allowing us to be so good from set pieces. We'll talk about that later on.
They conceded the most shots from set pieces.
But we were very good from set pieces, and you in particular did benefit very nicely from the Virgil van Dijk goal. We'll talk about that later on. We're going to say hello to a few people, Sam. Before we do, look at that. Look at that. A couple of green arrows again. Doing all right, I'm waiting a minute.
Let's say this quietly, Lee.
Go on.
It's the highest rank I've had all season.
1.8 million. Get in.
It's the highest rank I've had all season.
It's the highest you've been all season.
I
tell you what,
I'm so happy. I can't tell you how happy I am to have a rank that starts with a one.
Yes.
And I know that that is ridiculous, everyone. You don't need to tell me that.
It's fine.
I know you can come at Lee for his Arsenal hate and his ref hate.
Yeah, do it.
But you can't come at me for being happy about this because, honestly, what a slog it has been to get to this point. But
yeah, yeah.
5 weeks back, 3.6 million. Now, 1.8. We are...
moving.
Moving.
You're moving.
And if I did not try to be rogue with the captaincy... and just because it was either it was Bruno Thiago. Mm-hmm. And in the end, I talked myself out of Bruno in Ohana on Thursday night.
Yes.
Because I'd looked too much at the underlying numbers. And so I went Thiago. And if I'd have left it on Bruno, oh, well, things would have been a lot better. But even so,
proof,
good week.
If ever it were needed, that you are not in a cartel.
In fact, I went in the Slack and I said that. And George went...
Sam, officially George not in the cartel.
Sam, we all knew Captain you weren't Thiago. In the cartel anyway. And I was like, I know this, but this is proof, is it not? Given I spent on Friday night in the Slack with our patrons going, I think I'm going to Captain Thiago. Oh, and by the way, I benched Gaye, so that was fun.
Quite FPL Twitter, and I've been a place to be this week.
That's why I don't do Twitter. Come over to Instagram. It's lovely over there. No one says anything bad. In fact, people just post nice messages to you on Instagram.
Do you know what? This weekend, there has been so much going on in the world this weekend, yet people want to dig out content creators on Twitter. Yeah, it blows my mind. Blows my mind.
But people do it for all the wrong reasons. Because actually, you know, there's no need for it. You think what you like. Think what you like. Think this person has done something. They've had a leak. Think it if you like. But you don't need to go and be abusive to people. That's the thing that bothers me. Like, I could turn to you and go, oh, so-and-so's definitely been told about that. I didn't, by the way. But I could. That's different. It's a private conversation between I don't go on social media and say it in front of millions of people. It's just ridiculous. If you are a keyboard warrior, stop it. It's unnecessary.
Yeah, or just as the rubbish FPL player says, just leave Twitter. Yeah, that's absolutely right.
You're right,
absolutely
Andrew.
I was kind of oblivious to everything that was going on until quite late in the day today because I think I've blocked most of the knobheads.
My block
list is quite insane.
But you haven't blocked the content creator that they're going for, which is why it's visible, because you see what he's posted. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. All right, well, anyway, stop. Everyone just be
just
nice.
Stop it.
Just be
calm
nice
down.
To each other. Christ, there's bigger and better things. Not bigger and better. Bigger and more important shit going on in the world. So just be nice. Right, let's say hello to a few people. Joseph Maloney is in, Sam, with the Super Chat. Thank you, Joseph, for the Super Chat. Hi, Lee and Sam. How are you both, mate? We're okay.
You're all right.
What a dramatic weekend. 62 after a hit. Ooh. It's not bad, mate. It's not bad. Although I think I've seen a few 70s and 80s, Joseph. So I don't know about that, mate. What would that be? A net 58. VAR taking centre stage again, mate. We've been there. We ain't talking about that again. Absolutely horrendous. Azzy the Smiths is in. We've got the Schwartz. We've got Chatterbox is here. Kelly T is in. Hey, Kelly. Nice to see you. John Robert Knight is here. The Messiah 126 is in. English referees can't operate VAR. They make African referees look decent on VAR. I couldn't possibly comment on African referees. But
maybe we should start watching that game instead then.
I don't know. But what I do know is that, the English refs are absolutely awful. Nick F7 is in. Nice to see you, Nick. Christopher Ward. Burton is here. We've got Abinav VPD. I think I've said that correctly. If I haven't, which
I probably haven't,
I apologise. Fred is in. Nice to see you, Fred. Will Mercer's here. Very nice to see you. Evening, Bonfields. My first time listening live. Welcome along,
Will.
Welcome along, mate. I normally watch back of the next day. Stormer of a season for me. Guess this, Sam. At 7K.
Oh, lovely.
7K rank.
That is beautiful.
Thanks for any help in that. I doubt, mate.
Have we helped?
I doubt we had any help in that whatsoever, even if it's going against what you do. Oh,
okay. There you go. That sounds about right. Yeah.
Will, you have summed us up, mate. We are not necessarily... people that join this live
stream... Well, hang on.
...are not necessarily here for the FPL content.
I would argue, to be fair, that when I come on here and when I go on the Scout Q&A, I actually give people really good advice. I just don't take my own advice. And that's been my problem.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, quite often go on the Q&A and people will come back and go, thanks for the advice, Sam, last week. I'm at like whatever K now. And I'll be like, why didn't I do that?
Yeah, I think there's plenty of cartel members you can go and watch. I mean, Sam and I clearly not in it after the captain in Thiago. Let's see. We've got George is in as usual. Hey, George, nice to see you, mate.
Surprised you see you, actually. I'm not still lying down.
Well, have you recovered from Saturday, George? Because that was some game, mate.
He had to go back to work when
some
that finished.
Game. Did he? God, I wouldn't have been able to concentrate at work after that. Horrendous. We've got Fred, we've mentioned. Kingdom FC. Very nice to see you, Kingdom FC.
Oh, we won't be happy either.
I thought you deserved something today, mate. And maybe we'll start off with that
card.
Game.
Red card.
Yeah, ninth one of the season, that.
Naughty Chelsea.
Well, and again, and
that
I'm sure...
could have easily been the 10th as well if Enzo carried on.
I'm sure Kingdom FC will agree. Completely avoidable, wasn't it? It's just like he's just back-chatting the ref, so he gets a yellow. And then he goes diving in on Martinelli when doesn't
to be
really
fair,
need to, does he?
If it's you like... were a Premier League player, you would be constantly red card if you'd back-chatting the ref.
Pardon?
You would.
Me?
You would get back-chat the ref because you disagree with everything the refs do. You'd be constantly in his ear going, that's wrong, ref.
That's true.
You'd be constantly sent off if you were a Premier League player.
I think they should put me in VAR. I think I'd be quite good at VAR.
Do you?
Yeah.
Why do you think you'd be good at it?
Well, you've got, what, an hour to look at each decision? It's fine. You can delay things as long as you want.
If you want,
your time.
Just have the tech fail and just make the player stand around on a pitch for 15 minutes like we had last weekend.
Fine. Yeah, it's all fine. Scott Schrager, the OG, is here. Nicole is in. Nicole McCarthy, nice to see you. A whole host of you. A whole host of you in this evening. Welcome to the FPL Family live stream. Like, subscribe, all that good stuff. If it's your first time listening in live, like Will... welcome along. Welcome along, Will. Very nice to have you with us. For those of you that are already subscribed to our Patreon, and of course there's what, George, and we've got Kelly, and we've
half
got Scott, and we've got loads of you guys in tonight. So thank you for your continued support, Patreon community. But if you do want a little bit more of Sam and I in your lives, if you'd like some podcasts, if you'd like some one-to-one FPL advice over Zoom, if you want to take part in our Manager of the Month competition, which is hotting up for February. So I'll be announcing the winner of that tomorrow, because of course today the game week is finished. We haven't got a Monday night game or anything. So the game week is now done and February is done and dusted. So I'll be announcing the winner of the shirt. You get a Premier League shirt of your choice or a football shirt of your choice if you win our monthly Manager of the Month competition. So I'll be announcing who that is over on patreon.com later on tomorrow. So yeah, what better time to come and join us over on Patreon and get involved in the March competition. Even if you're having a bad season, Sam, even if you're having a stinker of a season, we reset the scores to zero every month, and however you do in March will determine where you come in that competition. So you can just start again, and every month you've got a chance of winning a prize. What's not to like? So thank you for everyone that follows us over there. And if you want to go and check us out, patreon.com/FPL family, all the links are in the description below. All right, Sam, let's get into some of these games. And as usual, I've gone to the fixture ticker. Let's go to the game week results. I think we need to start somewhere on Saturday. Like, Saturday was so mad.
I thought you wanted to start with Arsenal.
We can do that if you want. We'll start with them.
I don't mind, really. You can choose. Go on, you make a choice.
I want to start with Liverpool, Sam.
Oh, do you?
I want to start with Liverpool.
All right.
Liverpool 5, West Ham 2.
What would you like to say about Liverpool? Shall we start with the fact that you've scored 5 goals?
Yeah.
And Salah got nothing.
That was a bit of a shock.
Because yeah, I can't remember that. I can't remember a time when Liverpool scored 5 goals and Salah got nothing.
No, true enough.
It's becoming a bit of a thing now.
But it's kind of where we need to go. If you think about what we've been trying to build over the course of this season, it's we're preparing for a Salah-less... I mean, I don't know, but pretty good chance he goes in the summer, isn't there? I thought he was going to go in January after his little outburst, but pretty sure he's going to go in the summer.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're sharing the goals around the rest of the team. But yeah, for us to score 5 and him to get nothing, not even an assist, is quite incredible. Something I noticed actually in this game, you can tell me if you agree or not, is I think at home, we attack like mad at home. Like, attack like mad. Like, away is a little bit more reserved, but at home is mad. And from set pieces, we did look threatening here. Now, we targeted them, right? Because we know West Ham are bad from set pieces. Yep. Some of the defending from West Ham on set pieces in this game was horrendous, by the way.
It has
horrendous.
Been all season, by the way. Yeah, all season.
So have a look at the teams that they're playing next. Who are West Ham up against next? I think it's Fulham, by the way. So West Ham have got next. Where are they, West Ham? Yeah, Fulham away, and then Manchester City, and then Villa in 31. So if you've got your Fulham assets, if you've got your Manchester City assets, you know, if you've got your Mark Gahey's, for example, and you and I both have him, thinking about selling him potentially ahead of 31 because we've got stuff we've got to do with our team to cover the blank potentially for City in 31, I'm saying I'm holding on to him for at least until game week 30 because I want him for West Ham at home.
100%.
Or West Ham away, right?
He'll be a last-minute sell ahead of 31 in all likelihood.
Definitely one of
maybe not even then, given that they're going to double afterwards. And now with the Nico O'Reilly injury that we'll talk about later when we talk about City. Because in my head I was thinking, well, maybe I sell Gahey and I swap to Nico O'Reilly when I come back in out of the blank game week in 31. But now I'm thinking, well, if Nico O'Reilly's not fit and available, then I want to keep Gaehi because there'll be a double and all that good stuff. So, but yeah, definitely, I think West Ham, it was 120 attempts from set pieces that they'd conceded so far this season prior to the Liverpool game. Right. And obviously it increased furthermore this game. But that is the worst in the league. And they have been better from open play. When you look at the numbers from open play, West Ham have improved in recent weeks.
They out-XG'd us in this game.
They did. They did. From open play, you could show that if you want on the XG slide that I made for you.
Come on then, let's have a look.
There it is.
There it is. Look at this. All right, so West Ham, 1.86 XG compared to Liverpool's 1.84. I must admit, I thought it was more than that. But yeah, they out-XG'd us. I mean, we got five goals, but... And they had plenty of possession as well, West Ham. I thought they'd racked up over two, actually. I don't know. We might have been looking at slightly different XG numbers. But
these are the scout ones.
These are the scout numbers. Okay, maybe I was looking at XG philosophy or something other than Opta. But either way, West Ham racked up plenty of XG here. And I would suggest, if I was a West Ham fan, there are signs of life there, right? If you're a Forest fan or indeed a Spurs fan, I'd be a little bit concerned about the fact that there are signs of life there for West Ham. And they got good players. Somerville's playing well. Bowen's playing well. I thought, and you know what it's like when you, unless it's your team, I mean, I've watched a bit of West Ham on and off, but they've been largely FPL irrelevant, haven't they, all season? In this game, I watched them obviously a little bit closer. I like Fernandes a lot. I think he's a really top player.
West Ham have got really good players.
He's a very good player.
They just, and it's a shame really, because if West Ham had been the West Ham that they've been since sort of January, they wouldn't be down where they are. It was the early part of the season when it just was all going horribly wrong for them. Whereas actually in recent weeks, they have looked a lot, lot better. And in this one, from open play, it's possibly the open play XG stats that you were looking at, because that is different.
Oh, okay.
There's a bigger goal from the open play stuff. But West Ham actually looked decent from open play. It's the problem is that their defence hasn't been solid. And from set pieces, it's been really bad. And when you get a team like Liverpool, who have been poor from set pieces for most of the season, but as you mentioned, change the set piece coach, and suddenly everything's a lot better from a set piece perspective. And you targeted it in the way that Arsenal did for Chelsea today. So it's not surprising. And this week I decided, because of those numbers, that I would go for Szoboszlai instead of Dango as my transfer in. Now, as it happens, there's a bit nothing really between the two of them. But when that Liverpool goal, because we just got in the car to head out, hadn't we? And Max's little voice come from the back, "Mum, there's been a goal, but I don't want to say it yet," because he has a habit of calling out goals before they get ruled out for VAR. "So I don't want to say what it is yet." And then it stuck and the game re-kicked back off and he went, "Mum, Szoboszlai's just fed Virgil," and I was more excited than you, I think, by that goal having gone in, because obviously from an FPL perspective, Szoboszlai was my transfer in this week, and obviously I had Virgil anyway. So great stuff from that perspective. Wirtz out this week looks likely to be, well, is going to be out for the Wolves game in midweek.
Looks like it, yeah.
Yeah. Probably then misses the FA Cup at the weekend. Difficult to know really what to do with Wirtz if you're a Wirtz owner, because you would hope that if you've already got Wirtz, you've probably got loads of other issues to deal with for 31. So you'd have to hope that he's back for 31, so you're not having to deal with him.
Well, my reservation about Wirtz not being there was obviously against, I think it was Forest, wasn't it, where we won 1-1. Was it Forest we won 1-0?
Yeah.
Yeah. And he didn't play. We were dreadful.
Yeah.
First half, dreadful. All right, improved a bit second half, but dreadful. So I thought going into this game, okay, we're at home. As I mentioned before, I've noticed we take the handbrake off a little bit more. But without him, you know, everything was going through him, and against Forest, he just wasn't there. So I was a bit concerned. But when I saw the team sheet and I saw Gomez at right back, I was like, good. Like, good. Because you want Szoboszlai in that midfield. With Wirtz not there, he's got to be there. Yeah. And I thought, actually, what's the impact on Ekitike as well? Wirtz isn't there. What's the impact on Ekitike? This guy, honestly,
because their partnership had been really nice prior to the Wirtz injury.
Yeah, of course, of course. But I absolutely adore this guy. Adore him. Ekitike. Mm-hmm. I think he's everything we need in a striker. And when Isak comes back, it'll be, and I don't think he's too far away, it'll be really interesting to see how Slot puts Isak in that team, because he's got to. 120 million, he's got to somehow. But Ekitike just looks absolutely on fire, and you notice he's like, you know, he's recognises when his song is sung by the crowd. After he, when he celebrated his goal, he's given him a thumbs up and a cheeky little smile. Yeah. If you look at all of the YouTube stuff as well as I do week in, week out, he's hugging all the dinner ladies. And I know.
Oh, God, you've gone down a like, this is like you and What's-His-Face's agent last week. You're just like, you like to go on a little romantic, like...
No, with Liverpool, as you well know, I watch those videos week in, week out.
I know you do.
And during the Klopp era, that was regular. They all did that all the time. And in this era, some of them do it, some of them don't. And when he first comes to the club, obviously he's settling in and he's not doing it quite so much and all the rest of it. He's doing it. He is settled at this club and he looks the business. And I think if Haaland is out for next game week, I should say, because... Unless you're living under a rock, you'll know there's another game week coming up. Game week 29 starts Tuesday, right? Tuesday. And then we have a bit of a break for the FA Cup at the weekend, and then 30s the week after, right? If Haaland is out for 29, there's a pretty good chance I transfer Haaland to Ekitike, knowing that if Haaland comes back and I want him back, I can do it on my wildcard in 32. 32? Yeah, 32. Because he blanks in 31 right now. So Haaland to Ekitike is definitely on for me this week. It's definitely on. I might do it even if Haaland's fit, by the way, because Ekitike looks so, so good. So, so good. What did you make of his performance?
Does it put you off that it's an away game?
A little. Yeah, a little. Let's have a look, remind ourselves
it's
of the
Wolves
fixture.
Wolves away.
Wolves
on the back of a derby win.
Yeah, but that game at home to you lot, I'm sorry to say, that looks such a plum fixture. And then
what I'm saying is that if Haaland isn't out in midweek, then would you still do it, or would you wait and do it for 30 and 31?
I don't know. We're not going to know about Haaland, are we?
Well, this is the problem, isn't it? Is that we're going to City play on? When does City play? Is it Tuesday or Wednesday?
Wednesday, I think.
So yeah, we will get a presser, but. He's not going to tell us anything, is he?
Probably not, no. Probably not.
So, yeah, you're going to have to make the transfer blind, basically, aren't you? You're going to have to decide whether you think it's worth doing it.
Oh, Wednesday they're playing.
So you're going to have to decide on whether we think that you want to hold Haaland for the midweek fixture, which is Forest, at home.
Yeah.
Which is a better fixture than Wolves away, I think.
Yeah.
Given home form for Haaland away form for Liverpool.
You say, yeah.
But we're not going to know. So it's going to be a bit of a blind stab in the dark as to which way you go with it.
Even before this week, though, we've been talking on air and on Ohana about Haaland changing his role and he's more creative now. If you've got Semenyo, that covers you a little bit from a City perspective. I don't know.
I'm not saying I think it's a bad idea. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying, would you still do it? If Pep comes out in a press conference and said, no, Haaland's available.
I probably would wait till 30.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. Okay.
But if there's any doubt, I think I'll just do it.
Mm.
Because the other thing is that what it opens up. Because you're saving yourself 5 million. And there's loads you can do with that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, yeah.
Not that I think it's the move that I'm looking at. Potentially. I don't need it.
I was going to say.
At all. It would be an upgrade in probably midfield, depending on Rice's fitness. That's another one we've got to look at.
Yeah.
Because Rice...
And Harry Wilson, if you got him.
If you've got Harry Wilson, you've got to have a look at that as well. I think the Wilson one looks slightly worse than the Rice one. I don't know. Like, that Wilson's ankle got a little knock and they tried to play on and then he had to come off.
He twisted his ankle in the first half and he came in at half time and said, I've twisted my ankle, it really hurts.
Mm.
And they tried to play on and then it still hurt and he had to go off. It's like, well...
Yeah. Whereas the Rice one, I think it was on about 68, 69 minutes.
He immediately protected him as well.
And he had to really sprint to get the ball from, can't remember which Chelsea attacker it was, but he ended up passing it, but he ended up booting it out for a corner. And even on comms and in the stadium, you could feel it. Like, what's Rice doing there? Just put it out for a throw or just tap it back to Raya. Turns out that during that sprint, he looked like he picked up something. And then and in a game like that, when it was finally poised as it was, you'd think that Arteta would not bring Rice off.
Oh, yeah, right? Yeah, for sure.
Under more or less no circumstances other than Rice
injured.
Himself is going, look, I've got to come off.
Yeah.
Plus, he's also not the sort of player that would say, I've got to come off either.
Nope.
So, yes, I want to hear from Arteta. Will we hear anything? I don't know. But I think if Haaland and Rice are both out for 29, even if they are potentially back for 30...
Well, then they're out again for 31.
And then they're out again for 31. I think it's too much of an opportunity.
Yeah,
as a 32 wildcarder. Okay, you're behind the sofa a little bit in game week 30, aren't you? If Haaland and Rice play, but in 29, if neither of them are going to play, you've got a real good opportunity to go Ekitike and then somewhat like a differential somewhere. Yeah. I think it's just too big an opportunity. Thank you, Steve Winyard, for the super chat. Thank you, mate.
Hey,
I'm thinking Haaland to Jimenez if Haaland is likely out. But what to do with the extra money? No idea, as I've got the premiums that I want.
I just missed my mouth.
Oh, you've missed your mouth. Okay.
I thought sorry, I wasn't laughing at you, Steve.
Difficult thing to do.
I know. That's why I laughed, because I thought, how did I do it?
Are you thinking Haaland out to Jimenez? If Haaland is likely out, what to do with the extra money? No idea. I'm not going to read the last bit of your statement, Steve, because you're just going to wind Sam up. But how... that is absolutely it. You know, if you want to take Haaland out to Ekitike, don't mind it at all, or Haaland to Jimenez even. But what do you do with that money? There's like...
You don't have to spend it. You don't have to do anything with the money. I think that's the point, isn't it? Is that in the past, the only reason we would have looked to have sold somebody like Haaland was because of injury or because we needed the money for something else. Now, the reality is that Liverpool game, which we still haven't finished talking about really, you don't need to spend a fortune. If Ekitike is not expensive in the grand scheme of the game, he's not an expensive asset. You're not going to buy Salah.
No.
So you don't need the money for anything else. So you could just leave, and particularly if you've already wildcarded. Like if I was to sell Haaland, I would not spend that money. No. Because I know that coming back out of 31 and into 32, you're going to need to get him back because there's going to be a double if they blank.
Sure.
And by the way, the other thing is we don't for definite know that they're going to blank.
No, so certainly. We shouldn't. But it looks highly likely, doesn't it?
Well, not if they go out of the Champions League.
What do you make of the other Liverpool assets though? Frimpong back this week? Back with an assist. I know Joe Gomez started at right back, but I really wish we could keep him fit, Frimpong. Wish we could keep him fit.
But I don't think that there's any value in him over Virgil. Why would you go? Why would you not just pick the obvious Liverpool defender, who's by the way still not that heavily owned anyway?
You make a very good point. I think Virgil is starting to become quite heavily owned. I think if you wanted, again, we're at the point this season where people are looking for differentials. I don't mind Frimpong as a differential. And anyone that's saying, well, look, he might not start. Trust me, Gomez ain't starting two games in 3 days. No chance. He's made a Weetabix, as we know. So if anything, Frimpong could probably get 60-70 minutes against Wolves.
Who have you got in the FA Cup?
Can't remember. Is it Brighton? Or have we played Brighton?
No, you knocked them out. Is it Wolves again?
It could be. Oh, yeah, I think it is, actually. Yeah, I think it is. Don't worry. I think it is.
Yeah, because I was just thinking that, like, because obviously that game, I think that's quite quick as well, aren't you? Yeah, you're Friday night.
Mm.
So you're going to play Tuesday against Wolves. And then Friday, you're going back to Molineux to play Wolves again in the FA Cup.
Oh, is it both away, is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you've got, realistically, with Frimpong and with Gomez, Frimpong's coming back from injury and Gomez is jelly. So... potentially one of them, I would have thought that Frimpong would start in the Premier League
I think
and then Gomez starts in the FA Cup. And
I think he'd start Frimpong next. I think Frimpong starts the next two in the Premier League.
So not the Wolves game in the FA Cup?
No.
Yeah.
No.
That seems realistic.
And if that is going to be the case, why would you not get him?
Because
Wolves and then Spurs.
Virgil.
Yeah, but okay. But I'm saying if you're looking for a differential, because everyone's going to go Virgil, right?
Yeah.
If everyone's looking left and you want to turn right, have a look at Frimpong for the next couple, is all I'm saying.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
I'd prefer Virgil, but yeah, if you want to.
Sure, but differential, right?
You don't always need a differential.
People do, though, Sam. It's just
no,
not all
you
about
don't.
Your team and my team. This is about people with 9 game weeks to go, sitting at 1 million, 2 million, and they want a differential. No point going Virgil. Everyone's going Virgil.
Yeah,
so go and get the 2 or 3% differential in Frimpong.
Okay.
Too safe.
That makes no sense. I've gone up 2 million places by playing it safe in your eyes.
I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the general FPL player looking for a differential. Let's move it on to Newcastle 2, Everton 3. What did you think of this game? Newcastle in a bad run of form, right? 5 defeats in 6.
Newcastle seem to only be able to bear a bit like Spurs. They can only play football in the Champions League, it seems, at the minute. They seem to really struggle in the Premier League.
No Bruno Gino party? Is it as obvious as that?
I think so.
Is it as obvious as that?
I think it is, yeah. It's made a massive difference, isn't it? And they keep tweaking the way that they're set up, whether they're playing Voltimada up or not playing a forward and playing Anthony Gordon up there instead, like where they're playing West. Like, there's constant changes in formation. And I do think that that's really unsettling when you keep moving around. Like, you don't build that connection between these players, and you need those kind of connective things. Now, Guimarães, I think, is a massive, a massive miss, because he was, he pulls all the midfield strings for them. And when you take somebody that's that important out of your team, and you don't really have the personnel to replace his role, I do think that that's difficult. And, you know, Everton actually, credit to them a little bit here, because they have been good.
Oh, yeah, more than a little bit.
But they have actually been quite decent away from home, despite their home form being appalling. Yeah. When they travel, they've been all right. And they played really well in this one. They were third, I think, for XG across the game week. So they were decent.
Let's have a look at your little slide.
But
there you
also
go, yeah.
Think, like, Nick Pope has got a lot to answer for in this one. Again, there was a number of big mistakes from him, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I do think fair play to Everton, because, you know, for them to go, I mean, they scored within, I think, 2 minutes
early
when
on,
Newcastle
yeah.
got the first one, and they scored again within 60 seconds when Newcastle got their second one. So every time Newcastle scored, they didn't go down in the dumps, heads up, straight back and in the game. So if I'm a Newcastle fan, there's something there about switching on, mentality, concentration. I don't know, there's maybe a comment there. Given that Everton have got Burnley up next, right? So it's Burnley up next, and then they play in 31, they play, oh, it's Arsenal after in 30, and then Chelsea at home in 31. If you had Everton players, I don't think you have. When are the home fixtures? Well, the home fixtures is Burnley at home in 29, and it's Chelsea at home in 31. And
so
then
their
after,
away fixture is Arsenal?
Yeah, and then Brentford after that in 32. So it's not looking great.
No.
But, I mean, I've still got, for my sins, I'm holding on to Tarkowski. I didn't play him this week. I benched him.
Still got three, though, didn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he got defensive contributions. So I'll keep him for Burnley at home, right? No doubt. And then I'll bench him for 30, probably, because I need my transfers to do other things.
Having him for the Chelsea game is not terrible.
He'll probably play for me in the Chelsea game, yeah, probably. Well, almost certainly, because it's 31.
Because it's 31, yeah.
But then from 32, he won't be another thing. He'll be gone. He'll be long gone.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think, despite a really good performance here, I don't think there's any Everton assets that are worth having, unless you are holding already and need to keep holding because of the blank game week. Then it's fine. I think it's fine.
Yeah.
But I don't think you're investing. The fixtures aren't great. The home form isn't great, despite the fact it's Burnley. Burnley always score. Here we go again.
Yeah. Right. We'll move on from this game, because I don't think there's a lot to talk about from an FPL perspective. Let's go to one of the 2-1s from today. Manchester United 2, Crystal Palace 1. Palace going 1-0 up, actually, in this game, which surprised me, actually. I have to say, surprised me. And then, what did you make of this penalty? What, the push on Cunha? What do you make of this? I'm not like... Have you seen it? It's like... It's so soft, isn't it? When you think about some of the other pushing, I mean, we spoke
don't
at the top
to
of the pod about pushing. And then you get like Lacroix with like the tiniest push on Cunha. And then he gets the.
And sent off.
And then sent off as well because it's Dogzo.
Yeah.
I think because it's the denial of a goal scoring opportunity. Yeah. And it's just like, if you're Palace, just, I would feel so aggrieved there. So aggrieved. I don't know. One or the other, maybe. But I don't know about both. It's ridiculous.
Well,
but
it can't be a. Red if it's not a pen.
No, I know, but it's crazy. But listen, anyway, as a Bruno captainer, I was reasonably happy to see. Obviously, as a Liverpool fan, I want to see United drop points because I want, you know, we're chasing them for European football. But Bruno getting the goal, and then, which was a little bit jammy because it's a penalty, but he's on penalty, so he can get that jam.
That's why you have him, yeah.
But the assist for Sesko was brilliant. Like, that was vintage Bruno, right? Picked the ball up in a deep area, delivered an absolute gem.
And finished great by Sesko, by the way.
Yeah, and it's the sort of ball that, you know, what I would call an out-and-out striker like Sesko would absolutely gobble up. You know, if that was in Bremo in that position, he might have scored, sure. But, you know, for a player like Sesko...
It's also the sort of ball we haven't seen from Bruno for a couple of weeks now.
No, I disagree. I think he's been getting in those slightly deeper positions.
No, he's been getting in
deeper
positions, but we haven't been seeing those like really good balls to a forward landing in the perfect place and scoring for it. The numbers hadn't been there over the last couple of weeks.
Really?
No. That's why I didn't captain him, because the numbers from assist potential had not been there. And obviously, he'd been dropping off on the DEFCON as well. So obviously, the penalty is what it is.
I'm sure I saw some stats saying he's been the most creative player over the last 2 or 3 weeks, and he's been delivering balls into the box because no one's finishing it.
He has been the most creative by a long way. But the last two, if you narrow it down, he hasn't. Because to be creative, somebody has to be there and collect the ball. There's been a lot of non-collection of balls in recent weeks, which obviously harms the numbers. Yeah, look, I think Bruno Fernandes, we know what he can do. He can be brilliant. And he was in these moments today. Really, really good. Sesko probably deserves a start again next week or in midweek. Because
well, Carrick was asked after the game, wasn't he, about, you know, how much of a gamble was it playing Sesko this week? And Carrick was just like,
it's not.
It wasn't a gamble. Been playing great.
Been playing great.
Yeah. So
four and four, isn't it now for him? I think.
Four. He's been knocking on the manager's door, and other players needed a rest. I think Carrick said, you know, makes sense. Put, you know, just a good option, a great option to have coming in, and he took the goal brilliantly, didn't he, Sesko?
Brilliantly, really again, good. And that's every time he seems to take the goal brilliantly. It will be interesting to see in midweek whether he continues to play him, whether he brings Ahmad back, because he took him off early for Ahmad. I think like on 70 something. Mm. So it'd be interesting to see what happens there.
Is he an option then, Sesko? Because we're all on Bruno, aren't we? I think so. Not forget Bruno, but it's like most have got him. And Mbeumo is a conversation. But again, if you get into that point of the season and you need a differential, you didn't like my Frimpong one. What about Sesko? I mean,
But I do like this one because I think the point is that there's not a direct replacement in the team. So with your Frimpong one, yeah, right. But you could just go Virgil. He's in brilliant form, playing regularly, picking up the DEFCON and getting attacking returns. Same position. For Manchester United, if you want to double up on their attackers, so far it's been Bruno and Mbeumo, or Bruno and Cunha, or if you want to be really rogue, Mbeumo and Cunha.
Mm.
But that takes up two midfielder slots. And for a lot of managers out there, there's been a reluctance to do that because there's been so many other good midfielder options, and over the last couple of weeks with the double game weeks, we've had to have Arsenal, and then Liverpool have been in the conversation, all of that good stuff.
Yeah.
With Sesko, there is a real opportunity to double up on a Manchester United attack in a position where potentially if Haaland's out, we've got a position that we've got available. Or even if you are, you know, looking at your team and thinking, well, I've got Thiago and I've got Haaland, but I've also maybe got somebody in that third slot that I'm not that keen on holding. Like maybe you've got João Pedro and you think, well, I'm not really that bothered about holding him for the fixtures that they have coming up.
Do you think that Carrick played him though? Because,
well, that's my problem, is he actually going to play him in midweek?
Okay, so the comment I was going to make was, why did he pick Sesko then today?
Oh, because I think he's been playing really well over the last few weeks and deserved the start, given how he's been performing.
Do you not think there was something about the fact that Palace were probably going to come to Old Trafford and sit in, and having a target man there would have been better than having pace in behind like in Mbeumo, because you're not going to get that space in behind?
Maybe. Or maybe the fact that also Ahmad was awful on Monday night.
Okay. I think there was some tactical stuff there as well. I don't think Carrick would have obviously said that. In his post-match, he's come out with the narrative of, oh, yeah, we deserved it and we're resting players, all the rest of it. But I think there was some tactics in there, and the fact that they would expect Palace to sit in. And you're right, Nick. So Sesko is rapid. You're right, absolutely. But I see him more as a kind of, United fans, tell me if I'm wrong, more of a target man than Mbeumo. Mbeumo is a on the shoulder of the last defender kind of player. But the reason I'm mentioning it is because their next two games, Man United, are Newcastle and Aston Villa, which on paper, of course, are difficult games. You go to St James's Park and then Aston Villa.
I'm not sure even for them are
but
that hard.
Both those guys, are really not in form right now.
Manchester United will want to beat Villa, given the league positions.
Yeah, and they're also both teams that you go to Newcastle. Newcastle are not going to sit, are they? It's just like there will be space in behind. And we know what like the likes of Dan Burn and that are like. They've got a turning circle of a Titanic.
Yeah.
So is that more of an Mbeumo game than a Sesko game? I would suggest it is.
But you're not choosing between the two, because they can play together and Mbeumo just play out wide. Now, that's not a terrible thing, because he played out wide often for Brentford and still scored loads of goals from being out wide.
I'm talking about your forward man, though.
No,
your
I know,
number
I know.
Nine.
Yes, I know. But what I'm saying is that
if you're wide right, you don't play on the defender's shoulder, do you? You do if you're nine, not if you're wide right.
No, sure. But what I'm saying is that when Mbeumo was at Brentford, he often played out wide. And he still scored multiple goals from that position. So I don't think that Carrick is having to choose between having a good Mbeumo playing if you want to play Sesko. I don't think it's that black and white. I think you can have Sesko playing in the nine and still get the best of performances out of Mbeumo on that side.
Changes
and Cunha on
the style,
other.
Though, doesn't it? It changes the style.
But it's just putting him back into the style that he always used to play, isn't it not?
Yes and no. I don't think you're really understanding my point. But someone in the chat, I think Nick was saying, you know, Sesko is rapid. So, you know, do you get the best of both worlds with Sesko, right? It's not as if you're putting in Bromo there because he's got pace to get, he has got the pace to get in behind a sort of a higher Newcastle line or a high Aston Villa line, because they'd both be going for it in a way that maybe Palace weren't this weekend. But that's not to say that Sesko can't do that as well, because he's reasonably quick. So I don't, the point I'm making about all of this is, from an FPL perspective, would you invest in Sesko? I don't know, because again, he plays great this weekend, but can you guarantee that he starts again
that's the next couple? That's the big issue.
I don't know if you can. I'd like, he'd be very hard done by if he doesn't. But in a world where you've got Ekitike is right there, sitting there playing great. I mean, if you sell, sell Haaland, you can have them both, right? I mean,
well, if you sell Haaland, it's different. But if you're not selling Haaland, there's a big price difference between Sesko and Ekitike. So that will probably, maybe that's a judgment call. But I think the bottom line here is that Sesko is difficult to invest in because we don't really know what Carrick's going to do next. That makes it hard. Because if Carrick plays him, then I think for the next couple of weeks, he's a phenomenal asset.
Yeah, Nick's saying Sesko starts for us next game in this form. It's...
I think he has to.
Hard to disagree with that, Nick. You know, he's on fire, isn't he?
Now, can he? Realistically, he's been fantastic lately.
All right. Palace, how do you feel if you're an acquire owner? A goal followed by a red card. How do you feel?
I mean, I don't mind that. He's out of the Spurs game in midweek. We can use all the help we can get.
Yeah. What would you do if you had Munoz? Because there will be a few that went on Munoz a few weeks ago. He didn't look anything like his usual self here, did he? For me, I thought he's... Look like he'd lost his legs are gone a little bit.
I think a lot, I don't mean this in a, it's really difficult because obviously Spurs are dreadful right now, but they should have just got rid of Glasner. When Glasner said, I'm leaving at the end of the season, that was the moment to just go, actually, thank you, but you're going now.
Mm.
Because what's happened since then has been awful. And I appreciate the fact that over the last couple of weeks, they have actually picked up points. There's been some Premier League points that they've picked up, but their performances haven't been there.
It was here up until the red card.
Right. Now, in this game, they start well. And for the majority of, in fact, all of the first half, Palace are actually playing well. And I was thinking, well, maybe we're starting to see a little bit of... But then Lacroix gets sent off, and the problem is that, all right, that the penalty then goes in. But defensively, they've lost Gehi. Now Lacroix's out, and obviously they're playing with 10 men, and it's very difficult to judge a team on 10 men because what they're doing is different, and you would expect Manchester United to go on and win a game against a 10-man Palace team. But going into the midweek round of fixtures without Lacroix, that doesn't bode well for Munoz for me. Now, the thing that does bode well for Munoz is that we are awful at defending, so he could easily get in behind and get something against Spurs, for sure. He's got assist potential in that game like it's going out of fashion. And in fact, last season, I sat in the stands and watched Crystal Palace play Spurs, and it was Munoz to... Constantly. It just constantly came down that side. It was Mateta.
Yeah.
And it was just constant. And I remember being like, yeah, this is a real vulnerability in the Spurs defence. Well, by the way, that vulnerability hasn't gone away. He's still there.
Yeah.
So I think from a Palace perspective, I think you probably hold Munoz for midweek.
Oh, what? 100% hold him.
For midweek.
Oh, yeah,
but
man.
After midweek, I think it's difficult, isn't it? Because it's another one of those where, a bit like Morgan Rogers, you keep holding because they're playing 31 and because the fixtures have been all right, but they're not returning enough to warrant the price, because Munoz isn't cheap.
All right, well, let's transition then to why you should hold your Crystal Palace assets then, right? So let's go and talk about your lot. So Fulham 2, Spurs 1. I shall make no comment other than one of the reasons I would hold Munoz, or if you've got Saar or anybody else, is I noticed Tudor playing a bit of a higher line than usual in this game. And you've got the pace to deal with that, right? You've got the Van de Ven's, and he's the quickest guy in the league. But, I don't know, I just think you get Munoz in behind, or you get Saar in behind against you lot, and I think it could be problems. But... Go on, what did you make of this game then? 2-1. There wasn't a lot to cheer about until towards the end it got a bit better, but first half was pretty bad, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, one of their goals shouldn't have stood, in my view. So that pisses me off, because that's just VAR, but there you are. I think the big talking point, I mean, realistically, you're not going to invest in a Spurs player anyway. So
Nope.
That's kind of an irrelevant conversation. Harry Wilson was very popular this week, and a lot of people still had Harry Wilson lingering in their teams from that phenomenal run that he was on a few weeks ago. And he does really well in this one, obviously. He gets a goal and an assist for a goal that shouldn't have been there, but never mind. But the twisted ankle thing is a concern. So I think you're going to have to just really, we have to hope for a press conference. Now, the problem you got is that this game is on Thursday.
So it's
the only Thursday night game. The press conference will be on Wednesday. So we will not hear ahead of the deadline unless something comes out in the press before, which is unlikely. So we're not going to hear from Tudor or Glasner in terms of who is and who isn't available for this one. So I think if you've got Wilson, you hold.
Oh, is it Spurs Palace is Thursday?
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about Fulham being Thursday. It's Spurs Palace is Thursday.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I am. I don't know why I said that.
Because you talk about Wilson. We need to know about Wilson, don't we?
Yeah. That's Wednesday. So you've got we've got a chance of learning about that one. Sorry, yeah, that's my bad. I just went into a Spurs chat. So we've got a chance of knowing about that. But, you know, and I would expect...
You've got to hold him until we hear something, though.
Yeah, well, you definitely do. But I think
Fulham fixtures are in, like, West Ham, Forest, and then, of course, in 31, it's that magical game, Burnley at home, which we all want in 31, don't we?
I don't think the question is, would you hold him if you have him? I think he's an obvious hold, unless we are categorically told by Silva... He's not fit. Mm-hmm. I think the bigger thing that people have is he would have been a very popular buy for Rice this week, or a very popular buy for Enzo this week, or a very popular buy for anybody this week because the way the fixtures are lying for Fulham. So it's difficult, isn't it? Because he was a player that I could have got last week, decided not to because I fancied Szoboszlai against that West Ham set piece defending nightmare. But this week he was on my very, very much on my to buy list. Mm. Very much so. It's going to be difficult. I'm going to have to hope that we get some presser news ahead of this one and that we get some honesty from Silva. Now, he's pretty good usually at telling us the truth.
Okay.
So hopefully we'll get some news, because if he is available, then he would be the one to target, I think, this week. No?
Yes, but... And can you tell I've been thinking about differentials this week, right? Oh. Because, yeah, but listen, you can sigh and roll your eyes if you like, but there's people that want to hear about differentials, right? Because we're...
How much is Harry Wilson owned by?
As I say it again, he's owned, like, everyone's got Wilson. Come on, he's like... it's if by saying, what about Frimpong? And you go, no, Van Dijk.
20%, 22%.
Yeah, so it's like, fine. It'll make a bit of a difference, but not a massive difference. Now look at how much Iwobi's owned by.
1%, but you're not going to go Iwobi.
Why are you not? Why would you not go Iwobi? I'll tell you why you wouldn't go Iwobi, because you haven't got the wild card, right? So anyone that's wild carded in 32 has got to look at these next three for Fulham and go, okay, well, I was going to get Wilson this week. 100% get Wilson. But I'm probably not now, particularly if he's out. But I'm still looking at those Fulham fixtures going, look at them three. Look at them three fixtures, particularly Burnley at home in 31. Now, that's 2-2 for Iwobi. Got 13 last week, got 9 this week. He's all... listen, 1% differential. I'm just saying, have a look at him. Jimenez. I don't know what Jimenez ownership is either. But we're getting to a point of the season where if you just look left at Van Dijk and Wilson, where everyone else is looking, and you don't look right at Jimenez and Iwobi and Frimpong and players like that, you will not make the gains that you need to make in the leagues that you're in.
I just disagree. They're 20% owned. We're not talking about players that are 50, 60% owned. So yes, all right, if Iwobi scores, you're going to get massive gain out of that. But the reality is, if Harry Wilson is available, Harry Wilson will outscore Iwobi in all three of these matches that they have coming up between now and game week 32.
He could do, but if he's not available...
If he's not available, it's different. Because then you've got to look elsewhere if you want to stay invested in Fulham. But I think if we don't know, then maybe you look at somebody else.
People are in the chat. So Rory Scott, Iwobi is surely a trap. Yes. BW Thomas, I don't know. Iwobi is a bit hit and miss. Yes. Also, yes. I'm not talking about having Iwobi for like weeks and weeks and hanging your season on him. What I'm saying is he's got the form. They've got three amazing fixtures. And in 32, you bin him.
Oh, yeah.
Listen, I'm looking at it. I'm looking
before
at it.
Before this too, though, we got 2-2, 2-2, 4-2.
I'm not saying it's not a pun. What don't people understand? I'm not saying it's not a pun. If you want to play it safe, get Wilson, 100%.
I don't think even that's playing it safe. That's what I'm saying. Like, if Wilson is, and the same with Virgil, if they were 50% ownership, then that's playing it safe. Then you're covering out rank. But at 20-odd percent ownership, they're still going to be a massive changer to your rank.
Sure.
That's all I'm saying.
Sure. Listen,
and Iwobi, I wouldn't trust Iwobi in my team.
I think one of the great reasons, one of the great opportunities of dead ending into 31 and wildcarding in 32 is that you've now got, what is it, 2 weeks? 3 weeks if you include the blank 31. You've got 3 weeks to have a go at something, right? Have a go at something and know in 32 you can change it. I'm so locked on game week 32 wildcard, right? I can't see any circumstance really where that changes. So if I'm locked on that as a strategy, the next three, I've got the opportunity to go for a punt, particularly if Haaland's injured, if Rice is injured, if Wilson's injured. All these highly owned players, that you've got there's opportunity there. And someone like Iwobi for 3 weeks, all right, say it doesn't pay off. Okay, but what if it does? What if he scores in two out of them three games? It's bloody Burnley in 31 at home. 1% differential. And you make a massive jump on the back of like a single Iwobi go on a bonus point. Of course it's a punt. Of course it is. But that's the point, isn't it? We need to feel something in FPL again outside of throwing assists.
No, so, okay, my point is that Iwobi gets one goal and gets seven in each of the next 2 weeks. That is not going to make you a massive rank change if Harry Wilson gets a goal and an assist.
Okay, we're missing the point.
Missing the point. I think you're missing the point of what we're trying to say, is what I'm trying to say, is that you're talking about getting a player. Like, if you were to go for a player from another team, you're picking not the best player at Fulham, arguably not even the second best player at Fulham.
All right.
The third or fourth best player at Fulham. They have to then outscore all the other guys in order for this. And Iwobi's not going to be your brace every week, man. Like, I think if you're looking for a differential, they have to have the potential to double-digit haul. And I don't see Iwobi double-digit.
All right, no worries. Hauling. No more Iwobi chat. What about Spurs? You want to say anything about them? Or are we just avoiding?
Because they're not an FPL investment, are they?
Okay. All right. We'll move it on. What about Burnley 3, Brentford 4 then? Anything going on in this game?
Is there anything going on in this game?
It's quite a bit going on in this game.
It's a lot going on in this game. It was mental. Does the debate... Did we get any answers in the debate between Dango and Sharda in this one, in your mind? Because I'm not sure I'm any clearer on whether I want Dango or Sharda.
I thought Dango was a threat throughout, actually, and was unlucky not to... I mean, in the eternal battle of Dango versus Sharda, the answer was Damsgaard, wasn't it? I mean, to pop up with two goals.
But I think it was his first double-digit haul since game week 18 or something.
Yeah, something like that. I think they're both still good picks. I think if you want to go for Damsgaard as a differential, although we're not doing that here tonight, then don't go for Damsgaard. But any of the Brentford boys are pretty good on this basis. I'm not sure I'd go for any of their defenders.
But was this only because Kelleher wasn't there? If Kelleher's there, does it make a difference?
Well,
maybe. The first goal, the own goal's unlucky. It's not Vladimir Arsene's fault. The other two, maybe Vladimir Arsene, I don't know. I don't think it was really any of his fault, but nonetheless.
It was mostly Michael Cody's fault, wasn't it? All of them? Pretty much all of Cole's, wasn't it? The first one comes off his arse. Second one, he makes a mistake.
Yeah, it was, to be fair. I don't know with Brentford, you know, because like Thiago, yes, absolutely got him. Great, thank you. Happy. I faffed around a lot with the Brentford midfield this week because I can't, in my head, I just love Sharda. I think he's such a great player.
But you can't tell me why, ever.
But I know. Why? But I just love watching him. He's one of those players that, you know, when you watch a player and you just really enjoy watching them play? Sharda's that person for me. I really enjoy watching him. I think he's great. But it clouds my judgment when it comes to FPL because probably the answer is Dango. The sensible answer here is Dango. But I do really like Sharda. But I think if I was ranking them, it's probably still Thiago, Dango, Sharda. But outside of them three, I don't think you want to invest. Like, I don't think the triple up is on. If you've got Kelleher, you're unlucky this week. He's going to be back for midweek. He was just having twins. Well, his wife was. So he'll be back in the midweek game. You just hold him. But I don't think I'd fancy a defender outside of him.
Okay, Bournemouth away, Wolves at home in 30, and then Leeds away in 31. Tricky little game, that, Leeds away. Mm. City, I'll tell you that. We doubling up? You going for a Sharda? Going for Dango? Going for Damsgaard?
I'm not going for Damsgaard.
No?
Well, he's like Iwobi, had no real form apart from recently. I think I do fancy it. I fancy Harry Wilson more, so I've got to wait for news on Harry Wilson and if he's going to be available. But okay. if he's not, then Adanga or Rashada, I would prefer one of those two over any of the others that we've talked about tonight.
Okay. Burnley then? Still dead and buried. We're not targeting them, are we? But listen, there was some... They showed some spirit, didn't they? I mean, they're bang unlucky not to get anything out of this game. Let's be honest, they're bang unlucky.
They should
3-0 down.
They should feel a little bit aggrieved not to have got something out of this game as well, because in the second half in particular, they were good. Well, they were trying hard.
Hannibal, I thought, was good, actually. Two assists, played very well. Well, Jaden Anthony as well. But listen, we're not picking him in FPL.
But you're not picking him. And same with Fleming, actually. But you're not picking any of them, so no.
No, okay, fair enough. All right, let's move it on. Yeah, go on then. Leeds 0, Man City 1. I thought Leeds played very well. And actually, you mentioned during the game, because again, this was another one we watched on mute, wasn't it? We were out and about. We saw it on a TV in the bar we were in, and it was on mute. So we were watching it. And you said something that I hadn't really processed much this season. But you said, oh, Leeds always do this. I said, what? You said, Leeds, they go at you for half an hour, and then for the remaining 15 minutes of that half, they take their foot off the pedal because they're all gassed. Mm. And then they come out second half, and they come at you for 15, 20 minutes, and then they're gassed, right? Yeah. It's almost like the old Bielsa ball, do you remember?
Yeah.
It's like Bielsa used to just go hell for leather, and then they'd be completely cooked. And that's what they did here for a good half hour. I'd go as far as to say they were the better team.
They
for
were.
30, 35 minutes.
I'd agree.
And then Antoine pops up with a great goal, but a weird celebration. And then City kind
of... His mum told him he wasn't allowed to backflip anymore.
Something like that. Yeah, it was something like that, wasn't it? And then they just kind of ground it out a little bit in the second half, Man City. I thought the goal led a little bit of a charm life. But as a Gehi owner, I can tell you I was willing that one to go in. But Darlow clawed off the line.
The set piece.
Yeah. I'm thinking, Gay got the end of it. I would have liked that one to go in.
Yeah.
The Leeds, we'll talk about City in a minute, but the Leeds fixtures actually don't look too bad. If you look at the fixture ticker on screen right now, the next three, according to the Fantasy Football Scout ticker, has them placed third over the next six. So Sunderland at home, who are hit and miss with form, I think, if we're being generous. Palace away, again, manager's given up. Let's see what happens. And then Brentford at home in 31. It doesn't look too bad for Leeds. Could a Haaland replacement be Dominic Calvert-Lewin?
I've had a fling with Dominic Calvert-Lewin this season.
How did it go?
It went all right. He got me a couple of goals, didn't he? It was all right. It wasn't... I wouldn't go back for more. I think that's put it that way. Like, okay. It was one of those, like, he's your ex for a reason. Move on.
okay, fine.
I think he's fine. And actually, he was quite unlucky. In the opening 20 minutes or so, he had one, didn't he? And it was like, how is he not?
I think you've dismissed him a bit quick there. He is one I'm having a look at. I think I'll put my red goggles on and I'll probably end up buying Ekitike, particularly if I've got the money to do so with Haaland.
I think you'd buy him and his over Calvert-Lewin.
Paul, really?
Yes. You 100% buy Jimenez over Calvert-Lewin for these fixtures.
I'm not sure 100% I would, no. I'm not sure 100%.
Have you been drinking today?
No, why would you say that?
Because
I think DCL could be a really great pick with the next three fixtures for Leeds. And beyond, potentially. I also like the look of Anton Stack. I thought Anton Stack looked great.
I don't mind the Stack pick.
Finding it hard to see where I put him in my team because of the decent options we've got in midfield, but... Listen, again, you know, we're not talking differentials, not allowed to. But if you want to talk about differentials, Anton Stack looks all right.
You're just picking differentials for the sake of picking a differential, not because it's the best thing to do. The differentials are the best. The reason to pick a differential is because they are the best player in that team and they're the most likely to return. Stack, I think, is a really good option in midfield.
All right. Why do you like Stack?
Because he has set piece threat, as we saw last weekend, but he also does a lot of the good work and a lot of the assist potential comes through him. So he has got real potential. And they play, like I said to you when we were watching the game, they always come out quickly. And so in the opening parts of games, there is a really good opportunity in the next three fixtures that they have, especially to get in behind the defences that we've just been talking about. And we've said for all of them, like particularly the Brentford one, we've just said wouldn't go there based on what's happened. You could easily see Sack doing stuff against them, particularly from
inside. They're good at home, Leeds, aren't they? Full stop. They're just good at home.
They are good at home. Yeah, they are. They've done really well this season.
They deserve
right?
something out of this game.
They did deserve something out of this game. But as Nico O'Reilly had gone off, I was really desperate that they didn't lose that clean sheet. As a Gehi owner, I was thinking, God, he's gone off and his clean sheet's locked in.
Well, he's another one, isn't he?
I want mine.
He's another one.
Well, yeah, looks but
like he's probably out.
But to be honest, Lee, I think if you've got Nico O'Reilly, he's quite an easy sell because they have a blank in 31. He's clearly not right.
Mm.
Took him a long time to go off and he didn't look great.
Well, the one thing I will say, and I picked up on this, thank you, Danny, for reminding me in the chat. City did release a little gym video on X earlier and O'Reilly was in there working out with the first team looking happy as Larry.
Was he?
Yeah. Now, it's a video on X, on social media.
What was he doing in the gym? Into it?
Oh, he just looks happy enough.
But what was he doing? Lifting weights, running on a treadmill, on a bike?
I don't know. Ask Danny. Danny's looking at all the videos. I don't know. But he's...
Because if he was lifting weights, you can lift weights with a twisted ankle.
The point is, Sam, he wasn't lying on the treatment bed, was he? He's in the gym with the first team looking happy. Like, if you're injured, you don't do that. If you're injured, you go and do your separate... You go and do your own thing with the physio, don't you? But he's not. Mm-hmm. He's there with the team. So what looked like he might be out for midweek...
Maybe
again,
now,
we've got to come and wait and see. But that video, I saw it, Danny, as well. It's a good pickup.
Was Harlan in it?
I don't know. Danny said he was on the spin bike.
You probably don't do that with a twisted ankle, to be fair. Thanks, Danny. This is really good detective work.
Good work, Danny.
Danny, this is way better detective work than we had from Lee last week stalking Dorgu's agent. Was it Dorgu's agent you were stalking last week?
Yeah, because I'm the only prick with him still in their team. So I've got to look it up, haven't I? No one else, like, there's literally no content creating content about Dorgu's. Just me that's got him. So I've got to, like...
The fact that Danny's out there watching the training videos to see where O'Reilly is. Time for that, Danny. That is good work. Well done.
Danny. What else about City, though? Semenyo. Listen, not many people going for him because, he's got a blank and we don't want to go there, but... Week after week, I'm happy to have him. He just looks sensational, doesn't he? Banged in another one here. But crucially, I noticed no bonus points for Semenyo.
No.
Do you know why? Because I looked into this.
Go on, tell me why.
Caught offside 4 times. And also, his pass completion rate didn't meet certain thresholds. So what does that mean?
Well, he was sloppy with his passing. Is that what you're saying?
No, the opposite, actually. It means that he just wasn't making as many. He wasn't as involved as some of his teammates.
I see. So he was completing passes, but just not as well as the others.
Correct. Yeah. So you've got like the likes of the centre-halves. You've got Rodri. You've got Bernardo Silva all getting on the ball lots and making lots of passes. Doing all the nice things. Whereas Semenyo is not getting on the ball as much, but he's making the runs and tucking it away when it matters. A bit like a striker, which in FPL we don't mind. But we also wouldn't mind a bonus point or two. But to do that, you've got to stay bloody onside, Antoine. So getting caught offside 4 times meant that he... I think that meant that he didn't get...
One of the reasons he didn't get
the bonus points. So
interesting.
As an owner, I was a bit disappointed to see that. But yeah, look, again, as I said, as we were coming to this game, City ground it out. They did well. They did great.
Yeah, I mean, his ownership has dropped off a little bit lately as well. He's at 54% now. So obviously...
It's still big, though, isn't it?
It's still big. It's still a big, big
still
number.
Hurts if you haven't got him, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So as an owner around my rank, actually, he was quite helpful.
Because I ain't selling him ahead of
these next two. His ownership was all right for me at that point.
If anything, I'll be selling him in 31. Forest, West Ham next. He's absolutely staying.
But again, I think as somebody that's not going to be wildcarding in 32, I won't be selling at all. Because I'm going to want him for any potential double game week that comes. So... I think there will be some different strategies going on here. So for me, and for anybody that's not planning a wild card in 32, if you don't have Semenyo, he looks a buy this week. If you don't have Semenyo and you're not, despite the blank in 31, with the next two fixtures that they have coming up, he could still be a good buy over the next 2 weeks, especially if Haaland's out.
Yeah, maybe. It's difficult to buy a player that blanks in 31, isn't it?
We might not.
Difficult.
Imagine if they get knocked out. Of the Champions League.
Yeah. Well, they got Real, innit?
Yeah.
It's possible. Yeah, possible.
But imagine if they get knocked out of that and then suddenly, the game's still on in 31.
All right, well, look, a couple more games to go. Look, we've not done Wolves 2, Villa 0, but...
Morgan! Blimmin'!
Just talk to me about Rodgers. Do it real quickly.
No, don't want to say anything about him. I hate him.
Oh, okay.
He's dead to me. I want him out of my team.
Are you transferring him out this week, then?
Finally! Well, yes. So on Friday night, I nearly rage transferred him out on Friday night. Finally the fixtures have turned, so I've held him for all these brilliant fixtures. I'm going to sell him. You know what's going to happen, don't you? You know what's going to happen. We'll start returning. However, I will have to wait to see what's going on with Declan Rice first.
Yeah, true enough. Danny McDonald saying, you selling him for Iwobi? Danny, don't take the piss out of me, mate. Look, listen, when Iwobi scores next
Danny,
week, I'm going to be...
Danny, you carry on. I'm not selling him for Iwobi. Absolutely not. Might I sell him for Harry Wilson? Yes, I might if he's fit.
Matt had in the chat, sell Rodgers for Iwobi. Like,
no. Danny, if you could also please watch the Fulham videos in the gym and see if we see Harry Wilson on a bike, that'd be great.
Oh, man, I cannot wait for the Iwobi
race. I can't wait
next
for Iwobi to be crap in midweek, and then I'm gonna send you pictures of him all week.
Yeah, well,
like
anyway.
I did with Az and Dominic Calvert-Lewin.
William Leary's in the chat. Rogers is dropping in price tonight. Sam, are you selling?
No,
because I ain't.
I have to wait, don't I?
For what?
What if Haaland and Rice are out?
Well, yeah, absolutely.
Can't sell flipping Rogers, can I? Yeah. I have to keep the idiot.
Just have a look at this, by the way. I need to just scroll down a little bit here. Right, bonus point system for this game.
He had the most shots in this game, by the way.
Who did?
Rodgers.
Well, they can't have been any good. Look at this bonus point system, right? Like Wolves, good, right? There's João Gomes on 53, Mosquera 33. Look at the underlying BPS for the Villa players. Cash, Consa and Rodgers are the top three with 11. 11 underlying BPS. That is properly crap, isn't it?
They've been terrible. And honestly, over the last... And I know people are fed up with me and this. Rodgers, I know. I'm fed up with myself, believe me. But he has been the most... And every week I say, I hate him, I want to sell him. And everyone goes, well, look at the fixtures. You can't sell Rodgers. He's got these great fixtures. You can't bench Rodgers. And I'm like, but he's...
Chelsea up next. That should be a bit of a humdinger, shouldn't it? Back Chelsea based on how they played today. Let's transition to them. Arsenal 2, Chelsea 1. Can't believe it's taken us this long to get to this game because it was...
We nearly started with this one.
Yeah, we nearly did start with this game. Set piece FC, ole ole, again.
I don't know. Both of them, though.
Yeah, but listen, Chelsea deserved to get something out of this game, or did they? Because they shot themselves in the foot with bloody Neto, didn't they?
If Neto doesn't get sent off... Maybe they get something.
I don't know. And they nearly did, right? That one at the end, I think, I must admit, when João Pedro got there just ahead with the bicycle kick ahead of Raya, Raya pulls off a great save. And then he pulls off another great save. And then I think somebody taps it home. And I'm like, he's miles on. Like, he's on. He's on for the first one, isn't he?
He's
definitely miles off for the second one. So it's the correct decision. But nevertheless... 2-1 with a couple of minutes to go. You're expecting Arsenal to sort of see out the game. And Chelsea absolutely could have nicked something. I don't know what to make of Arsenal. At the minute, I've got Rice and I've got Gabriel. If Rice is injured, I'll get rid of him. But Gabriel can just stay, can't he? I mean, despite not getting a clean sheet here, he's got 9 points.
Gabriel is an easy hold. He's the easiest hold you've ever had. Particularly if you are playing through 31 and don't have a wild card for 32. Do not sell Gabriel. Just put him on the bench with Semenyo and Haaland if Haaland's fit and available.
Mm.
Honestly, Gabriel feels like the least biggest problem you've got going because they're so good from set pieces. And I think moving into the next couple of weeks of fixtures that Arsenal have before... And this is the problem, isn't it? Is that the last couple of weeks on paper for Arsenal... So say what you want about Spurs' performance, but a derby is always difficult. And they've had Spurs and Chelsea over the last couple of weeks. They've come out on top in both and performed well, especially in the Spurs game. But the next two, I think it's Brighton and then Everton, isn't it?
Correct,
before
yeah.
The blank. Those, on paper, look like the two fixtures that you did want to hold them for. Because
yeah, Brighton picked up a bit lately. They're looking marginally better, Brighton.
They are. I mean, last week...
It was a low bar, wasn't it, a couple of weeks ago? But they've got back-to-back wins now.
It was. But last week, it was, I think, a shock to everyone. This week, I think we would have expected them to have beaten Forest at home.
Yeah.
I don't think that today is a shock result. Last week was against Brentford. This week, I don't think it is. But I think... And I would expect that Arsenal would get something out of the Brighton game. I'd expect Arsenal to get something out of the Everton game. And I would expect, given that...
Everton travel better than they are at home? Arsenal?
They do travel better. But nonetheless, I think, you know, set pieces, Brighton aren't particularly great from them either. So Arsenal could easily get in behind again. I don't know about Everton's set piece, though. I haven't looked at that. Pickford's generally quite good from set pieces, actually, isn't he?
There's a few in each... And this is, God, this is really bad analysis, isn't it? But, like, they got big lads, those two. Like, Chelsea today got bullied, didn't they? Like, James on the first goal. Gabriel just just wrestled him, right? Just bullied him out of it and got the assist. But then you look at Brighton and they've got like Lewis Dunk, and they've got Van Heck, and they've got big lads there that can deal with that sort of threat.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Tarkowski and Branthwaite and others that can deal with that sort of threat. And as I said at the beginning of the podcast, if you can stop that threat from Arsenal,
that's true.
They don't create a lot from set pieces. Now, I'm not selling Gabrielle ahead of these two, right? But
no,
if Rice is out of the Brighton game, yeah, maybe I'm behind the sofa a little bit when Everton go to the Emirates, because it's a game that I probably would like Rice. But is there an opportunity to do something else over the next 3 weeks when you've got Rice against Everton at home versus somebody else that's got three maybe good-looking games that place with Fulham?
Iwobi. Christ,
just saying. Just saying.
Guys, please.
Rice for Iwobi, who's no, said no one ever. Chelsea? Good performance?
Yes. Were Enzo Fernandez owners a little bit lucky he didn't get sent off?
In what situations do you think he would have got sent off?
He just got really gobby, didn't he, towards the end? I thought he was going to talk himself into a card. Jao Pedro, I think.
He did talk himself into a card.
He got
booked.
He was going to talk himself into another one.
No.
Yeah, I think that's why I took him off. Because he lost his head. As a non-Chelsea owner right now, because I've sold them all, I was relieved to see both Enzo and Jao Pedro blank, and Cole Palmer, to be fair. Mm. And I'm always relieved when the Chelsea clean sheet goes, because they are across the different defensive lines.
Yeah, but no one's playing their Chelsea defender this week, are they? Look.
Well, no, they're not. But equally, if you've got Sanchez and Dubravka, maybe you did play Sanchez over Dubravka. Because Dubravka, I mean, he never keeps a clean sheet, does he?
Home to Brentford or away at Arsenal, you'd have played Dubravka, wouldn't you?
Probably. But yeah, I'm always pleased to see the clean sheet go, because it does hurt when the Chelsea clean sheet sticks.
What did you make of Palmer's performance?
Should Cole Palmer have had a penalty?
When?
When Rice elbowed it.
Yeah, maybe, because I think he's fouling him and elbowed it.
Yeah. Rice,
so it's potentially two penalties in one, maybe. Yeah.
I
think they then scored from the resulting free kick, from the resulting corner, didn't they?
I mean, I thought it was a penalty. But then it's a different result, isn't it? Because Palmer then takes that and he probably tucks it home. I'm going to say something controversial again now, but I still don't think Palmer's worth the money you've got to spend on him.
Yeah, probably. I thought Arsenal gave him the freedom of the pitch in the first half. I thought he was dominating those areas. Well, he was getting into some more areas and creating some decent opportunities.
Mm.
I think I saw enough from Jao Pedro. Like, first half, maybe not. But Jao Pedro is a hold. And like we said before, right, the fixtures for Chelsea, on paper, they look tricky, right? They've got Aston Villa and Newcastle up next, and then Everton away in 31. Well, we've said multiple times, Villa, Newcastle, are they the same fixtures that Man United have got then? Man U have got Newcastle, Villa, and Chelsea have got Villa, Newcastle. Yeah, okay. So those two teams on paper, yes, of course, very difficult. But going away to Villa and home to Newcastle, I think that's fine. That's a fine Jao Pedro hold, isn't it?
Jao Pedro is fine. If you've got Enzo, I think he remains a sell.
Yeah.
If you've got Jao Pedro, he remains a hold. If you've got Cole Palmer, you probably hold. I don't think there's anything wrong with him. He's a penalty taker. The fixtures are fine. He doesn't blank. It's Everton in the blank. Jao Pedro and Palmer are holds.
Palmer's a hold.
I think so, because he doesn't blank.
All right.
If you've got Palmer, you probably don't need the money for anything else, because where would you go?
Yeah, true enough. Okay.
Yeah.
Good. All right, let's get on with our teams, and let's go and talk about my team for this week then. So 70 points, which is very much a...
It was bang average, actually. Yeah, 70 was the average,
yeah,
I
think my safety score was 70.
So it was your safety score, yeah.
It is bang average, yeah, absolutely. So... Nevertheless, look, it's a green arrow, right? 1% green arrow, up to 254k. That's now 6 green arrows in a row.
Look at you.
The last two have been minuscule, though, and I mean like minuscule. But I am at a point in the season where I said to myself, between game week 20, what are we on now? 28. So between 27 and 31, I'm dead ending. And I, as I've said before, the last couple of weeks, I'm in such a difficult position. Because I got all, and it was of my own doing.
You're about to make it worse if you get a Wobie.
I've managed it badly, right? Because I got all these blanks, and I've got the Dorgus, and I've had the Guillous. I've got loads of problems in my team, which means that I can't deal with the Enzos, and I can't deal with the who else have I got? That I really want to get rid of. I can't think of anyone other than I haven't got Van Dijk, for example. I didn't do Tarkowski to Van Dijk because I haven't got the bandwidth, unless I do hits, to deal with these players. Now, in hindsight, taking a hit for Tarkowski to Virgil a couple of weeks ago would have been absolutely fine,
yeah.
Right? So, yes, I should have taken hits. But anyway, I have manufactured this scenario where my transfers are so key to me that I can't deal with some of the shit in my team because I've got to deal with the blankers, the game week 31 blankers in my team. So this dead ending between about 27 and about 31, I always thought, just hold the line. Just don't get big reds. And I haven't been taking big risks, really. I haven't. I've not been doing anything too crazy. Like, I bought in Thiago. Well, fucking hell, 30%. No, it's not a big risk, right? So I'm buying. I got Hill, didn't I? So that's not a big risk, is it? That's just like a meh move. But holding the line, given that I'm reasonably happy to be at 250k, knowing that I get to 31, we get through it, and then in game week 32, we go bang wild card, we go bang bench boost, and we go bang free hit in the big double. That's where I hope that I can get up from 250k to 100k and get into that sort of... That's my goal for the season, right? I'm under no illusions I'm not going to do anything better than that, right? Top 100k would be great given the crap season I've had. So that's my goal. So if I'm going to do that, that's my strategy to get in there, is to just hold the line. So for the last couple of weeks where I've had two green arrows, one was a 2% green arrow and this one is a 1.01% green arrow, I'm sort of okay with it. So for the podcasters, I've had Verbruggen in goal with 3, Gabriel 9 at the back with Gehi 6 and Hill 2, Bruno Fernandes captain 26, Semenyo 8, Rice 5, Rogers 2, João Pedro 2, Thiago 6, and then it was Haaland who got subbed off for Enzo, who got the one-pointer. So yeah, 70 points, a game week rank of 2.6. It's like, it's not great, but it's also not terrible. Do you know what I mean? It's not terrible. It's fine. And when I look at my team for next week, I don't massively love it. So it'd be Dubravka in goal over Verbruggen. Don't fancy either of them, to be honest with you, but I'll go with Dubravka given that Everton can have a brain fart at home. Hill, Gabriel, Tarko and Gehi. Semenyo, Bruno and Rice in midfield. Thiago, Haaland and João Pedro up front. Now, a lot is going to depend, obviously, on what we hear in press conferences, right? If Haaland's not going to be available for Forest, there's a reasonable chance I sell him for Ekotike. And if I do that, I've got some money to do some other stuff in midfield. Like, depending on Rice's fitness, I could do Rice to somebody. I could sort out Dorgu and do Dorgu up to, say, a Van Dijk. I think I'm just about got enough money to do that. And if I didn't, then I could go for Frimpong instead if I fancy a bit of a differential. So, yeah, there's lots you can do. If you do the Haaland to Ekotike move, which is going to be popular for this week, I think, then there's a lot you can do with that money. And I am considering it. The other reason I might consider it... You okay? All right. The other reason I might consider it is because I don't really fancy, like, much of my team for captaincy. Right now, as you guys can see, I've got the captaincy bust on Semenyo. Don't mind it, but also don't love it either. I must admit, if I were Forest, given how the last kind of week or so has gone for them, right? They lost in the last minute to us. Then they had a tricky tie in Europe. Then they've lost again at the weekend to Brighton. The last thing they want really is a trip to the Etihad, isn't it, Forest? Absolute last thing they want. So I fancy Semenyo to do all right in that game. I fancy City to do all right in that game. So I'm going to keep Semenyo. I'm going to keep Gehi. And at the moment, I've got it bust on Semenyo. But if I get Ekotike, I will be tempted. I think I will be tempted to go for Ekotike. What do you make of my team? Any changes you'd make there? Don't say Iwobi.
I would never.
Captain Semenyo like that or don't?
That's where mine is, which we'll see in a minute.
Okay.
I don't mind it. I think the interesting thing here is, like, it is interesting, isn't it? Because Rodgers and Enzo sitting there on your bench feels like such a waste of money to have sitting on your bench not playing.
Yeah.
But you are in a difficult position because they're really helpful for you in game week 31. So selling them really does not feel like a priority.
The thing with Enzo as well, like the way that the two Gomez's have just like ripped holes through the centre of Villa this weekend. And I'm like, could Enzo do the same? He absolutely could, couldn't he? I'm not saying he will. He hasn't shown much in the last couple of weeks. He could, couldn't he?
Yeah. I mean, if Rice is out, I guess that's the opportunity, isn't it? You move and Haaland, but... Yeah, it is. I mean, I guess it's the same for everyone, though, whether you're wildcarded yet or not, is we're all thinking about 31. Unless your strategy is to free hit in 31, then you don't care. You're just doing whatever the hell you like. But like, even I'm looking at Rodgers thinking, I want to get rid of you so badly. And I've got the transfers to do it, But I need to think more than, and people keep saying, well, just do it because you've got the transfers for 31 and you can manage it. I know that, but I don't have a wild card for 32. So I need to make sure that I save as many transfers as possible to set myself up as much as possible for game week 34 and the bigger doubles and stuff that come later. Now, all of that is really of 33 and 34, the next blank. Now, we're going to know a lot this time next week when the FA Cup is finished. We're going to know an awful lot more about which games are on, because if Leeds beat Wolves, if Wolves beat Liverpool, that gives us a game on there. So it'll be really interesting, and vice versa, the other way around. So we'll get a lot more information over the next few days and the next week. And so that, for me, is part of the reason why I'm reluctant with Rodgers to just...
Well, let's talk about your team then. So 72 this week, bless you. 72. Doesn't feel like too bad a week. Rank change of 11.7 up to 1.8, as we mentioned before. Talk us through your team.
Yeah, I mean, I was a bit worried about today because most of my players played yesterday, so I only have three today. And I had a lovely big green arrow on the back of Saturday. I've got the sneezes now. And so going into today, I was a bit like, ooh, this could be difficult, but we'll just see how it goes. In the end, it's ended up fine. So my defence doing all right. Roofs, do you know what? Since wildcarding him in, he's been a frustration. Sorry.
You're right.
Where do these sneezes come from? Right, I think I'm all right now. Yeah, he's been a real frustration since coming in on wildcard. Now, I'm never expecting a lot from him away from home, but 2 points is all right. Given the lack of clean sheets this weekend, I'll take the two. Virgil with 7, Gabriel with 9, Senesi picked up Defcon, so getting 4. That felt like a win this week. Given that, it doesn't look like I've set my team up properly there. I've left Gahey on Senesi.
Yeah, Gahey's looking a lot like Senesi here.
Gahey was supposed to be Senesi there. So Senesi, and I didn't put the auto subs in either, did I? That was daft. So he picked up Defcon, so that felt like a win over Hill, but that was fine. Into the midfield, Semenya with 8, Rogers the disappointment with 2, Bruno with 13, Rice with 5, and then Szoboszlai with 4. Obviously, Haaland auto subbed out for Gahey, who came on with 6, and then Thiago was my captain, he got me 12. So decent week, another bit of progress. I can't help but feel a little bit annoyed that I moved the armband last, and it was quite late. I was between Thiago and Bruno all week, and eventually landed on Thiago on Friday about an hour before the deadline and left it there. Had I left it on Bruno, obviously I'd have flown this week. It would have been a really big, successful week. As it is, an 11% rank change is still really good progress. And I think, you know, over the last 6 weeks, it's been 4 greens, 2 reds, but the reds have been tiny. And so that's obviously, you know,
makes
like
a difference.
Last
yeah.
week it was like 50k or something. It was nothing. And would have been green if it wasn't for the Haaland Semenya captaincy thing. So yeah, a decent week, feeling quite positive. Still have 3 free transfers again.
Yeah, so 3 frees, a smidgen in the bank, 0.2 million in the bank for your team for next week. Yeah. I was looking at this earlier. It's not looking too bad, I don't think. You know, the big difference between where you and I are at is that you've got your Liverpool players in place already, right? You've got your Virgils and your Szoboszlai sitting there, which looks fine for Wolves away. I was struggling to see where you would make a transfer in this team, given you've got 3 there. Are you thinking of rolling, or is there stuff you would do there? Because even your bench, I mean, Van de Ven at home to Palace is completely playable. Krupe Jr. at home to Brentford is completely playable.
Yeah, I mean, Rice and Haaland are the ones, aren't they? Because the reality is that they are my problems for 31 as well. So if they're out, they are the easy things to solve. Now, you're right. I could just let them sit on the bench and play Rodgers or Krupe or Van de Ven. I don't trust Van de Ven. Sorry, Mickey. I love you dearly. It's not really you. It's the club. So I don't really want to play him, because I do actually think that Crystal Palace could easily score again and will score against us. But Rodgers, if I didn't have trust issues with Rodgers already, I would have played him probably against Chelsea, because again, he could do well against that Chelsea defence, particularly from set pieces if he takes them. So there's always that potential. But ideally, my planned move this week was Rice to Wilson. That was what I was planning to do.
Rice to Wilson, yeah, yeah.
Obviously, now I'm going to have to wait, because I'm going to have to wait for news on Wilson. I'm going to have to wait for news on Rice before I can make a decision.
Right?
Yeah. So I can't really make any decisions on that one. I am already invested heavily in Liverpool, so I don't think I want to do Ekitike to Haaland, because the other thing I have to consider is that, as I've mentioned a number of times during this stream, because after 31, I'm going to want Haaland in my team. I have a lot of value in Haaland, like most people do. So he's 14.8 in the game. Whereas if I was to sell him, he's worth 14.5. So I'd lose 0.3. Now, obviously, over game week 31...
he'll be sold.
Will be sold. So I would expect that to be less. But also, if I'm also going to say sell Gahey as well, I just have to consider that. Can I afford to bring them back?
Mm.
I think the answer is yes. I don't think it's a massive issue because it's only 0.3. At one point, it was 0.5, and that was a lot more, but he's come down. So that's, you know, okay. But that's something to consider. And also, I have to think about, do I want to treble up on Liverpool, or would I be better to look elsewhere? So, for example, if Rice is fit but Haaland isn't, then would I be better to go for somebody like a Raul Jimenez rather than a Harry Wilson and try and deal with an issue in my team rather than deal with a player that is fit and available for the next couple of weeks? So I'm going to be a little bit on presser watch for the next couple of days.
I think we all are, right? Yeah. Injury watch, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think my team can survive with nothing.
Oh, it's fine. Listen, I think that seems absolutely fine. The captaincy, same as me though. You've got Semenyo, but are you as 50-50 as I am, or are you a bit more concrete on that?
I'm pretty settled on it, I think.
Yeah.
I don't... There were other options this week. Last week, I felt like there were hundreds of options for the captaincy. Like, there were lots of people that you could
have... I don't mind Semenyo captain this week. If that's what I ended up on, I'd be totally fine with that.
Yeah.
Totally fine.
I think so. Thiago's in an away game. Don't really love that. Haaland's a doubt. If Pep rules Haaland fit,
yeah,
given it's a home fixture, I might be inclined to move it back to Haaland.
Yeah.
Bobby
Ted saying, how about Virgil captain? Mate, never captain a Liverpool defender.
Not away from home against Wolves either.
Just do yourself a favour and never captain a Liverpool defender. Yes, of course he can get stuff from set pieces. But like, that Wolves game has got 2-0 up, sleepwalk into a 2-1 written all over it. Do you know what I mean? The amount of times we do it, it's ridiculous.
I don't mind the Bruno captaincy either, given Newcastle have been struggling.
Yeah,
late.
True enough.
Don't mind that. If I had Cole Palmer or João Pedro, I might be even inclined to go against Villa because their defensive numbers have been woeful as well. So I think there are options.
Not a standout again, though, is there?
In my team, I don't feel like there's a standout.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm on Semenyo.
Very good. All right, well, green arrows all round here in the FPL family house. So me, just about a green. I'll take it.
Green's a green,
Lee. Yeah, totally. I'll take it. What's coming up this week, Sam? More football.
Yeah.
More deadlines.
More deadlines. Obviously, it's a Tuesday night deadline, 6 o'clock. So tomorrow morning, I'm up bright and early to record an FPL pod with Jules and Kelly to preview game week 29. Then we'll be back on Thursday morning to review game week 29 or review game. And you know what? I can't be unhappy because Spurs won't have played. So we'll do a pod where we're reviewing the games, but no Spurs. So that's great because we don't play till later.
Excellent.
So that's positive. And then obviously, the Q&A, Az and I will be back on Thursday late afternoon. I'll still be happy because Spurs won't have played. Then I'll head off to Spurs where I might become unhappy again. But we'll see. I'll bring you with me because last time I did that, we played really well. So maybe I'll take everyone with me to the game against Crystal Palace on Thursday night. And then we've got a bit of downtime, a little bit of downtime while the FA Cup fixtures at the weekend play out. So
yeah,
a little bit less content this week, but still two official FPL pods to come. And then we'll be back into major content from the week after because we're on Sky.
Good. All right. Well, there we go. That is the podcast. That is the video for this week. As Sam said, lots of content coming from the official FPL podcast this week with yourself and Jules and Kelly. An extra pod this week. Lovely. Lovely. Which is great. So, yes, the deadline for Game Week 29 is Tuesday at 6 p.m. UK time, guys. Don't miss that. Do not miss it. I know that you won't. So we'll have that game week. And then next Sunday, will we have a live stream? Because it's FA Cup weekend.
It's
so
FA Cup weekend.
Probably not, is the reality. Probably not.
Off, yeah.
But if you would like to listen to Sam and I's Ohana podcast, you can find that over on patreon.com/FPL family. As we always say, that's not behind the paywall this year, right? So you haven't got to pledge any money to us, haven't got sponsors or anything like that.
You're just going to get an account.
What?
Are you going to wait for me to get back from Spurs to record it? Or should we record it on Friday morning?
Oh, no. I want to hear how you get on at Spurs.
We'll record it on Friday this week then.
Definitely want to hear how it goes at Spurs. I tell you, listen, you've got to beat Palace. You just have to beat Palace. Forget it. You just Lee, say nothing else. You just got
to
beat
tell
them.
Me. I know that. I'm going to be... do you know what I'm going to do on Thursday night? I'm going to be in the stands. I'm going to do a Delia Smith. I'm going to try and rally them.
All right. Good luck with that. Good luck with that. They're going to need a bit more than a Delia. So yeah, Ohana coming at you as usual this week, but it'll be Friday probably. Friday by the time we get around to recording that, which is okay because we've got FA Cup at the weekend, so it's fine. Well done for anybody getting anything like 60s, 70s, maybe even in the 80s this week. Very, very good scores indeed. Leave us a like before you head out the door to watch Match of the Day 2 if you're in the UK. Subscribe if you're new around here, like Will watching for the first time. Will, welcome in, mate. Welcome in. Yes, and we'll see you probably in a couple of weeks then. A couple of weeks unless you want to hear from us on the Ohana podcast. Until then, green arrows. See you soon. Cheers, guys.
Bye, everybody.